Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and Romans, probably my two favorite books in the Bible. Some things in there that are just really awesome. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm going to actually minister tonight all the way down to verse 10, and maybe even beyond there just a little bit. We got an early start here tonight, so I can stretch my wings just a little bit. Praise God. And if any of you Eagles want to get on my back, we'll just teach you how to fly tonight. Praise God. Because you can fly with the Lord. Amen. There's great things that God has for His people. Praise God. We didn't start way up here and go in this direction. No, we started down here and we're on our way up. Praise God. You may not feel like it tonight, and circumstances in your life may not tell you that you are, but I'll tell you what, you cannot lean on circumstances, you cannot lean on how you feel, amen. We've got to lean on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4 and verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Praise God. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 deals with the unbelief of Egypt, of Israel. And when God brought them out of Egypt, He was grieved with them because they had sinned in the wilderness. And they did not believe God, even though they saw the miracles of God. Wonder tonight, do you remember when you got the Holy Ghost, what God did in your life? You remember the miracles that God worked in your early days of living for God? He hasn't changed. My God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Praise the Lord. Maybe your circumstances have changed, but my God has not changed. I want to preach a little bit tonight about being fearful to miss the rest. Amen. The promise of this rest. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. We ask You to anoint it to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. God bless you. And I trust you're having a wonderful week this week in the Lord. Praise God. You know, there's some things that are very important in the kingdom of God. And one of them was expressed to us in the creation account. And if you'll go with me to Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, this is after the Lord had created all things, and now we are approaching the seventh day. And it says, on the seventh day, God ended His work. Everybody said, He ended His work. Ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it, that would be the seventh day, He had rested from all His work, which God created and made. Amen. Now, I don't believe tonight that God does things by happen chance. I don't believe that He just worked and it ended up being 6 days and then He decided to stop for a day. I don't believe that, but I believe there are multiple levels of this account that we can look at. And one of those levels of account is prophecy. Amen. For Peter said that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years with man, and 1,000 years as a day. And so we see here in the creation 6 days or 6,000 years, and you can look at the Jewish calendar, and we are somewhere around 5,775 or 76, somewhere in there. They have it down to the very day, the month and the day that God created all things, somewhere in the month of October. I don't have the date before me today, but they have that. We know that 6 days God is going to work on the seventh day or the 7,000th year or the millennium that the Scripture talks about, that there will be a time of peace or a time of rest upon this world. And we will not fight, we will not war anymore. What a wonderful time it's going to be for that 1,000 years of peace upon the earth. Amen. This word here, where the Bible says God rested on the seventh day, it means to desist from exertion. And it's used in many implied relations. It means to cease, to cause to fail or to stop, to suffer, to be lacking. In other words, no work is being done. To put away work, or to take away work. And so there was a day that God decided that he would stop working. Many have the idea that this day of rest means to sleep or to lay down. That's not what it means. God did not lay down and sleep because God does not lay down and sleep. He does not sleep nor slumber, the Scripture says. And we understand tonight that it means to desist or to stop from exertion. And so it's more than sleeping. It is stopping work and stopping labor that you have been doing. Amen. Hebrews 4 and verse 10. If you want to keep your finger in Hebrews 4, we're going to look at a few scriptures here tonight. Hebrews 4 and verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Amen. And so he gave to us here in verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any should come short of it." Amen. And so he says in verse 10, "He that is entered into his rest." Did you know tonight it is the will of God for us to enter into his rest? Well, praise the Lord. And when we enter into his rest, we enter into it the same way that God did from his. And that's what he says here in verse 10. "He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Amen. So we are modeling ourselves after God. We are modeling ourselves after God's creation and what God did. We want to be like the Lord, don't we? Amen. So we have to follow his example. The Bible talks about following Jesus Christ and his example. Amen. We are to follow God's example here as well. Amen. And so the rest that God did was to stop working. He didn't create anything on the seventh day. Amen. And because he did it, he requires us to do it. Praise God. And from this point onward, in the Old Testament, the designated day here, the seventh day, was designated as the Sabbath day. Now you can see in Scripture that the Sabbath day was one of the commandments in the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. For in 6 days the Lord did create or worked, and on the seventh day he ceased from his work," or he rested. Amen. And so God stopped working and God stopped creating on the seventh day. And anyone that did not obey the Sabbath day, and in fact, when Israel came out of Egypt, there was a man that was caught picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. The very first infraction of this law in the Ten Commandments. And they went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "This man shall be stoned to death." And they went out and they stoned him to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Now I want you to know that's not that God is a mean God, but God is interested in us knowing how important this is. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All the other nine commandments are valid for us today because the commandments are moral commandments. Well, praise the Lord. They are moral commandments. And so this is a moral commandment as well. And the reason we can see this is that God showed us a way here, a way to cease from our own works, a way to cease from our struggles and our difficulties in a spiritual way, in a physical way, in an emotional way. God has a rest for His people. Can you say amen? He really does. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And so when we look at it here tonight, we look at work. What is work? Well, most of us know what work is. When we work, we get hurt, don't we? There are many instances that we can see where people get hurt on the job. Work opens up the door for you to get hurt. Work opens up the door for you to get tired. And most people are weary. I guess somebody wrote a song, "I'm working for the weekend." Amen. Because they're not excited about working during the week and getting tired. But work opens the door for us to get tired. Work opens up the door for us to become weary in our minds. Amen. Because of the bombardment of data in our generation, the bombardment of so many different things that you have to do to make a living. Amen. You can become weary in your mind. By the end of the week, you're just overloaded. Amen. Work opens the door for being overloaded with cares and many such things. Praise God. Did I do it right? Or did I get everything done by the time I was supposed to get it done? And work opens these things up in our lives. It's the very nature of work. Amen. Even work that you enjoy, even work that you love can cause stress, and it can cause weariness, and it can produce things over the long term, amen, that are casting us down. While we were there in Texas, there were three men that were coming every day to work at the church, and they were getting paid to come. And they've been doing a tremendous job. They love the work of God. They love God. They love what they're doing. But I made the comment, I said, "Your men are tired." Amen. And I looked at them with their shoulders when they came in the morning because of the magnitude of the work that's before them. Oh, they're going to rejoice when it's all done and they've got a brand new church. Amen. You know what? We're going to rejoice when we get to heaven and we hear Him say, "Well done." But we're not there yet. We're in a season of work. Amen. We're in a time of labor. We're in a time of struggle. We're in a time of hurt. We're in a time of stress and weariness of mind. You know I'm telling the truth here tonight. Praise God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is, the wise man said. Everything under the sun requires work. Amen. Everything from preparing your food to making your clothes to having an automobile, it doesn't matter. The smallest of things in this world require a certain amount of work to them. And that's why we get weary. Amen. That's why sometimes we come to the house of God and we're weary. It's not because you don't love God. It's not because you are falling away from God. It's just because we're in an environment in this world where work causes you to be weary. And that's where the sacrifice of praise comes in. That's where the sacrifice of saying, I'm going to the house of God. That's where the sacrifice comes in. Amen. To get out your little headphones and get on a Bible program and listen to the Word of God. Or get your Bible out and read the Word of God. Amen. That's where the sacrifice comes in. That's where the labor comes in. Amen. It's not always exciting. It's not always high church. Praise God. But we're not going to use that as an excuse to never have high church. Praise God. We've come to worship the Lord. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Praise God. Everything under the sun requires work. And God knew this from the beginning and has given us something in a promise here. Amen. So that you and I can have the rest that we need to be productive people, to be healthy people. Amen. To be a strong nation. Amen. That can overcome anything that can come against us. That's why he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Amen. Because his church is strong. Not in ourselves, but in him. Amen. Not in our minds, but in his mind. Amen. Not through our strength, but through his strength. Not by our design or our plan, but by his design and his plan. Praise God. His plan or his promise is for you and I to have a rest that is better than the world's rest. Amen. And there's something here that can make us excited, but it can make it fearful at the same time. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Praise God. There is a promise that we have tonight. There is a promise that you and I have tonight. And we must look at this promise and say, God, I've got to have this one. I cannot bypass this one. It's so very important that you put it in the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Praise God. Praise God. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. Now, there are those tonight that believe that we must worship on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is actually Saturday. Did you know that? That it's Saturday. And so we have Seventh-day Adventists, and they believe that you must worship on Saturday. But I've got a couple scriptures. You know what? You can't just take one scripture. The Bible says here a little, there a little, and line upon line and precept upon precept, and that we must have more than one scripture to establish any Bible doctrine. Amen. And this was true in the Old Testament. Excuse me. This is true or was true in the Old Testament, and yet it was fulfilled in the New Testament. This is fulfilled in the New Testament. Paul wrote about this in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Listen now, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Amen. And so we understand what labor and work is. We understand that in 6 days God created all things that are here now. But we know that the seventh day, according to the Word of God here, that it is a shadow of things to come. Amen. The Sabbath day is a shadow of things to come. Amen. It is not the very thing, but it is a shadow. And the Bible says, let no man judge you. Don't let anybody tell you you've got to worship on a certain day. Amen. That's the way it was in the old. But when Jesus came, he came to fulfill the old. Praise God. And to give us a better hope and a better way. Praise God. And the Sabbath was that shadow of things to come. Isaiah spoke of this as well in Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Now listen to this. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Somebody said, this is the rest. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Amen. The rest that God has for you and I is in the Holy Ghost experience, in the Holy Ghost baptism. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, I feel this so strongly in my heart. God established this from the very beginning of creation, that this would be a type and a shadow for you and I. In other words, when he said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise. I tell you what that promise was. It was the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I received the Holy Ghost a few years ago. Honey, let me tell you something. The only way we're going to have God's rest is to be full of the Holy Ghost as often as we can. Praise God. Well, praise God. We cannot get into some sort of a descending church. Amen. We cannot go to a descending prayer life. Amen. We cannot go to a descending reading and study of the Word of God. Come on, somebody help me here tonight. I'm telling you, we've got to have a holy fear in our hearts. I've got to touch God today. I've got to receive the promise that God has for me today. I can't put it off another day. I can't make it a day without Him. How many feels that way tonight? You can't make it a day without Him. I can't make it a day without Him. Amen. And so this rejection that he talks about here, and it says, yet they would not hear. Oh God, help us to hear tonight. Help us to hear the Word of God. Help us to understand that this great Holy Ghost baptism, amen, was not just once when we came to the altar as a sinner. But friend, when we get busy working for God and we get busy working for ourselves, we can get weary. Amen. There's some weariness here tonight. We can get weary. We can get hurt. Amen. There are a lot of things. We can get tired and weary in our minds and overloaded with cares and oh, so many, many things that come along. But there is a promise tonight. Praise God. There is a promise, and we cannot be guilty of rejecting that promise. Luke 24 and 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Praise God. That word promise there means an announcement. Amen. For assent or for pledge, especially a divine assurance of good. Praise God. And so when God gave a promise, he gave a promise for good. Amen. He said, I know the thoughts that I think of you. Amen. I think good thoughts of you. And I'm giving you an expected end. Amen. There is a great hope for the people of God. There is a great promise for the people of God. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Peter said it was the promise as well, Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Well, praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, you better get a hold of this. Amen. Because if we don't get a hold of this, we're going to miss out on what God has for us in this great promise of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He also said it in Acts 2 and verse 39. For the promise is unto you. The promise. Everybody said the promise. What's he talking about? He's talking about the promise of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. God is calling everybody here tonight. You're not here by accident tonight, but you're here by divine ordination. Amen. God called you here for a reason. God filled you for a reason. And the main reason, amen, was to give you a rest in your soul. Praise God. And it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Everybody that believes to the saving of the soul. Amen. If we miss this rest, then the only thing we've got to look forward to is work. Well, praise the Lord. It's all we got to look forward to is another paycheck. All we've got to look forward to is another day of hard labor. Amen. He said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat your bread. Oh, friend, but there's something about sitting at the feet of the Master and finding the peace of God and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Amen. That word Comforter there means just that. It means the Comforter. Amen. We can have peace within. Oh, if you're struggling with things right now, if you're going through a situation right now in your life, I'm telling you, don't let it slip through your fingers, this promise. Amen. Don't get so caught up in the things of this life that you forget the time to renew yourself in the Holy Ghost and to pray and to seek God until the joy of the Lord comes back into your heart. Because I tell you tonight, God's in charge of His church. Amen. God's in charge of His church. And everything is going to be all right. Praise God. Amen. We are singing the song tonight. I don't think we really understood what we were singing. Amen. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? You know what? We're not going to have to punch a clock when we get over yonder. We're not going to have to worry about a single bill when we get over yonder. We're not going to have to worry about an offense that's come our way when we get over yonder. Amen. But we're going to be in the presence of God, praising Him for all of eternity. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to let that slip through my fingers. I'm not willing to let a little bit of trouble or a lot of trouble, amen, steal that joy that God has for me in eternity. Well, praise God. Praise God. He said, the Comforter will not come if I stay here, but if I depart, and He departed. Amen. And Joel prophesied of it. He prophesied that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. And if you just reach down and pinch yourself tonight, or, well, don't pinch somebody beside you, but pinch yourself, you'll find out that you're flesh here tonight. And the reason you're tired is because you're flesh. Amen. But I got a feeling when we get to heaven, we're not going to get tired again. We're not going to have to go to the doctor again. We're not going to have to go to the hospital again. Praise God. We're not going to have to worry about our children and our grandchildren again. We're not going to have to deal with the things that we deal with in this life. No, no, no. I'm telling you, there is a promise for the people of God. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. There is a promise for the people of God. There is a promise for you as an individual. Amen. Lift up your head tonight. He is the lifter up of our head, because our rest is found up there. Praise God. It's not found down here in the things of this life. Because everything in this life demands work. And you're going to earn it by the sweat of your brow. Praise God. Praise God. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, amen, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then it's almost like he changes the subject, but he's not changing the subject. He's flowing right along. He says, peace. Everybody said peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise God. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, I tell you, that sounds so good. Why go through the whole day striving and working? Amen. I'm not talking about your job. Don't everybody go tomorrow and quit your jobs. What are you quitting for? The pastor preached we're not supposed to work anymore. No, that's not what we're talking about tonight. But I'll tell you what, there is something about the Comforter of the Holy Ghost, the comfort and the peace of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sent by God Almighty. It is an earnest of our inheritance. It is a fraction of God's Spirit that He places inside of us. And yes, we see now as through a glass darkly, but my friend, then we are going to see face to face, and we are going to know Him in all of His glory, in all of His majesty. It's going to be a completely different situation. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to let that slip through my fingers. I'm not on the edge of backsliding tonight. I haven't thought about it one time. Amen. I've got to make it to heaven. I've got to hear Him say, well done. I've got to know that He's with me every day, because this day may be the day that He comes. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Peace I leave with you. That word peace there means to join. Amen. You can be seated tonight, or to become one. Amen. How do we have peace? Well, the only way that we could look at it in a negative way tonight, we could look at war. The opposite of peace would be war, or striving, or struggling. Praise God. And so when we strive and we struggle, it's because we're not one with it. If you're struggling and striving with somebody else, that means you're not together on a certain issue or whatever it is. There's a conflict. There is a break in the relationship. And every time there's a break in a relationship, there is strife and there is struggle. And there is work, if you please. It causes stress. It causes weariness. God did not design us to be that way. Amen. God did not design us to go through life and just to barely make it by the skin of our teeth. But I'll tell you what, if I make it by the skin of my teeth, I'm going to shout hallelujah anyhow. Praise God. So why would I want to go through life warring and fighting? It's not the will of God. I'll tell you what the will of God is that we come together and join together as one. And what it really means is to be joined together and to become one with God. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I wasn't treated right. All right, join the human race. Amen. Well, praise God. But I tell you what, He's never done me wrong. Well, praise God. He's never done me wrong. I want to join up with Him. I want to have my little piece of heaven down here. I want to enjoy, amen, that little inheritance that I have. What does the scripture call it? The earnest of our inheritance. That means that if you had an inheritance of a million acres and somebody went there and got a shovel and put it in a quart jar and sent it to you in the mail, that would be the earnest of your inheritance. That'd be a little bit of what you've got a whole lot waiting for you at the proper time. Praise God. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But we know them and we see them because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Amen. It brings us together. It joins us together. Amen. It also means to set at one again. Amen. We were broken in our relationship with God in the garden. But praise God, at Calvary, there was the reconciliation. There was the bringing back together of a fallen man to a holy God. Amen. And tonight we can worship God. Well, praise the Lord. I love to worship God. I love to feel God. Amen. It bothers me if I come to church and I can't feel God. It bothers me when I go to God in prayer and I don't feel His presence. Amen. Why? Because I don't want to miss out on this promise. Amen. Of the rest that God has for me. Anybody else feel that way tonight? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will" what? Give you a raise? Is that what you said? That's what we're looking for. Well, if I just had some more money, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Because you'd go out and buy a bigger car and a bigger car payment. And then in a few months, it'd have a scratch and a dent in it. And it'll be worth $5,000 less than what you paid for it. And then you'll be praying for another raise. Right? Come on. That's all a part of this life, of labor and work and stress and all of that. Amen. We need to try to do our best to get out of debt. Amen. I'm not going to get off onto that. But He said, "All you that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." You know what the definition of that word rest is there? It's Sabbath. It's Sabbath. I will give you Sabbath. I will help you to stop working. Amen. Stop striving. Stop being at odds with the way God created us to be. Amen. "Come unto me," He said. Well, praise the Lord. Don't it's not in a better job. It's not in a better relationship. It's not having more of the things of this world, but it's having more of Him. Praise God. "Let us fear," He said, "lest the promise," amen, "that we would fall short of entering into His rest." Amen. I'm going to be afraid. Now, we heard while we were down there, Bishop Johnson talked about fear, and fear can be a negative thing if it's in our life every day about life and all of that. But there is a fear that he talked about here in Hebrews. He said, "Let us fear." Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And there are some things that we need to definitely be afraid of. I'll tell you what, I need to be afraid that if I come to church more than a couple times and I don't lift my hands and touch God, I better get a holy fear in my heart. Well, praise God. I better stop what I'm doing and find out what's wrong and get it straightened out. Amen. Get it lined out with God. Somebody said amen. Amen. "Let us fear lest we come to the house of God." Amen. And we don't connect with Him. Amen. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. I've already said that tonight. Amen. This is a life that God has made. Praise God. This is the job that God has made. This is a family that God has made. This is a church that God has made. This is a salvation that God has made. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My rest isn't something that I'm just going to do one time. No, no. I'm telling you what, it's a daily adventure with God. Are you at rest tonight? I want to ask you that question. Amen. Do you have the peace of God in your heart tonight? You can, because it's a promise. Let me read it again. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. I want to read down through verse 9, and maybe a scripture will touch you tonight, and then we're going to finish here. Praise God. Not bad for a middle-aged evangelist. I think I got another scripture in me here tonight. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word, there he's differentiating between the Jew and the Gentile. And he said, but the word preached did not profit them, speaking of Israel, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh, well, I've heard it time and time again, and I still have the same troubles and problems. Listen, friend, you got to have faith if you're going to rise up higher. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So there's belief and rest go together. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And so what joins us together with God? What is it that is that joining element that joins us to God? It is faith. I believe God. God, I believe you. I'm joining up with you. God, I'm moving with you. I'm not going any other direction. I'm going with you. Anybody here tonight want to go with God tonight? Amen. Want to go with God this week. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, everybody said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest or a Sabbath to the people of God. Amen. And what do we see? Amen. Sister Reed, would you come tonight, please? Amen. What do we see in Israel? What do we see when their Messiah comes? And at 12 years old, he's confounding the doctors and the lawyers. What do we see Israel doing as he heals the sick and raises the dead? What do we see as the multitudes are rejoicing at his presence and he's feeding the multitudes with a little bit of fish and a few loaves? What do we see them doing? They're in a back room somewhere striving, conniving. How can we murder him? How can we get rid of him? And they're fighting against each other, and they're wrestling with each other, so as it were. Amen. There was no joy. They didn't promise joy to anybody that followed them. They didn't promise any hope for anybody that followed them. And in fact, in one place, the Bible says that they compassed land and sea to make one proselyte. And when they made that proselyte, they made them tenfold the child of hell that they were. That's where work will take you. That's where work will take you. Amen. Let's not get so caught up in the things of this world that we let it slip through our fingers. Amen. This is a glorious church that he purchased. Let's stand together tonight. It's a glorious church. without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. John saw a vision. He was caught up in the Spirit. And in one place, he saw a multitude of people with white robes. And the angel that was there said, "Who are these?" He said, "Thou knowest." He said, "These are they that have come out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives unto the death." They're there. They're waiting for their reward. They're there tonight awaiting for their reward. Praise God. The rapture has not taken place yet. The resurrection has not happened yet. Amen. We're still in this world, but there is somewhere some people with white robes. With white robes. And they made it through great tribulation. How did they make it through great tribulation? How did they make it through sickness and disease? How did Paul establish such an exciting life in God with so many troubles and problems that he had? You just read about all the troubles and the problems that he had. Problems from without and problems from within. False brethren, situations, circumstances. I'll tell you what, tonight we're going to make it because we remember I've got a promise. Hallelujah. I've got a promise tonight. I've got a promise of entering into His rest. It's there. It's waiting for me to accept it. It's waiting for me to get involved in it. It's just waiting for me to get in oneness with God. Praise the Lord. That's why it's so exciting to know there's only one God. We don't have to please three different gods. Or as the Buddhists do, a million gods or more. You can't please three gods. Somebody said one time, "I pray 5 minutes to the Father, 5 minutes to the Son, 5 minutes to the Holy Ghost. But I'm always afraid that I'll pray a little bit longer to one or the other and I'll get them upset at me." No, 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 no. That's not the way it is. There's only one God. And there's only one Word of God. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Praise God. And that God has a plan for our lives. He has a purpose for our existence here in this life. You were not born by accident. It was ordained before the world was founded. He knew your name. Praise God. He had your steps already planned out. And now He's just waiting for you and I to get lined up and join again, one again with Him. And when we are one with Him again, that rest comes into our heart. Amen. That doesn't mean that you're going to go through life carefree and nothing's ever going to bother you. Oh, no. Bishop Johnson preached the other night about stress, and he talked about panic attacks. He actually came down with a panic attack because they had so many pressures and so many things that came down upon them. He said he literally had a panic attack. And he said, "Does anybody else know about that?" And hands were lifted. But you know what? He didn't stay in that place. He didn't stay there. He got up and he said, "Wait a minute, there's a promise that God has for me. And I'm not going to yield to this. I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to find out in God how I can get free from this, how I can get joy, how I can get free from this and go on and live for God and be saved." I'm talking about a man that's 74 years old that's been preaching a long time. Praise God. Praise God. Doesn't matter how long we live in this world. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He was in unity with His Father. He said, "I and the Father are one." Well, praise God. Did he grieve? Yes, he did. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was bruised. Don't tell me he didn't hurt. He hurt. He got so tired he fell asleep on the boat. They had to wake him up. Can you imagine a boat going like this? And they had to wake him up. He was really tired. He got to the place where he said, I'm hungry. You know why? Because he was a man. And he suffered the very same things that you and I suffer. He went through stress. Don't tell me he didn't go through stress. He sweat drops of blood out of his forehead. The Bible says he was in distress. Take out the D-I in front of it and it's stress. They say that if you do that, your muscles in your forehead are constrained so much that the blood corpuscles are broken and you actually bleed out of your skin. That's how much stress he went through. Say, well, he was God. Hey, let me tell you, don't tell me that Paul didn't go through stress when he laid his head on the chopping block. Don't tell me that John didn't go through stress when they threw him in a pot of boiling oil. Praise God. Don't tell me they didn't hurt when they were beaten and bloodied in the prison with chains on them. Listen, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But praise God, there's a promise. Somebody said there's a promise. Somebody said there's a promise for me. Amen. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to be afraid that I'm going to miss this promise. You know what? When I needed the Holy Ghost, I was so afraid I was going to die without God. I would go over the railroad tracks. I'd look two or three times. And then I'd gas it up and get across the railroad track. I didn't want to die because I knew I was lost. I was afraid. I was afraid I wouldn't get to the altar in time and I would be lost. But somehow or another, when we get into this kingdom of God, we forget, amen, that God has more for us. And I'm afraid tonight that we're going to miss it if we're not careful. We've got to have a life of prayer. Come on, somebody. Come on, agree with the pastor. Let's join together. Amen. That we're going to miss it because we don't see the need for prayer. Oh, the pastor's praying. Others are praying. But I'm telling you what, we've all got to join together. Amen. It can't be one or two worshiping. It can't be one or two getting their nose in the book. It can't be one or two that's got the joy of the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Help us today. I'm afraid that I'm going to miss the promise. But I tell you what, I've got my mind made up. I've got my mind made up. I'm not going to miss this one. I may miss some opportunities in this life, and I have. But I'll tell you what, I can recuperate from those. But I can't recuperate from this one. If I miss this, I've missed it all. Come on, let's lift our hands together and let's thank God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.